What's up, everybody?
Hello.
I'm not DM tonight. Just want to say that. It's not me.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, 4 out of your 5 sessions were a lot of fun.
Were they really? That's a pretty good. That's a pretty good score.
But that one bad one.
Yeah, I made myself watch it twice just so I could feel it.
Yeah. Just so you could feel how angry I was.
You were mad at the beginning of it.
It's because you were already on the downward slope by the end of the previous episode.
You know me so well. Anyways, tonight's going to be much better, and I'm excited about this.
Well, okay. Glad to hear that. I don't know how excited you should be, but
I wore
welcome.
A special shirt for it.
It was a Captain Spaulding shirt.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Pigs is beautiful.
Pigs is beautiful.
Rest in peace, Sid Haig.
True. Hollywood's most underappreciated heavy.
Yeah, he was we got to see the movie. I think Mahogany might have been her first time seeing House of 1,000 Corpses, and it was my first time seeing it in a theater.
It's a ride. I'll give I'm not sure if it's good or bad, but it's definitely a ride.
I've always enjoyed it because it's one of those movies. It's kind of reminiscent to like From Dusk Till Dawn, where you think it's at a peak of weirdness, and then it keeps elevating itself to more and more
the
weird.
Track. And onto weirder lanes.
Dusk Till Dawn, there's fucking vampires at the very end of it. If you never watched the trailer, you just went into the movie blind, you wouldn't expect vampires.
Mm-mm. I remember when I first watched that, it was like, what? What the hell?
Yeah.
It was like you just jumped to a whole different interstate or something. It wasn't like a left turn or something. It was just like, what the fuck?
House of 1,000 Corpses was like that because it's like, oh, they're just a crazy murdering family. Oh, they turn people into mannequins of weird fish people. Oh, no, there's an actual Dr. Satan demon that lives in tunnels beneath their home. Like, it keeps going. And that's, plus Sid Haig's in it, and he's hilarious.
And Bill Moseley.
That's a Rob Zombie, right?
Yeah.
It's probably like his best movie still.
Well, his most popular one is Devil's Rejects, the second one. More people saw that than anything.
That's the one that I'm sure that I saw.
I liked that one, but like it was definitely more of like a character study of three fucked up characters and didn't have like the zany fun craziness of 1,000 Corpses at all.
There were touches of it in there because there's the Rudy fucking Fruity when they're arguing about ice cream. And then there's the y'all ain't planning on fucking these chickens now, are you? That scene comes out of nowhere and it's just comedy gold. But he's like, let me take these three real just horrible fucked up people and let me see if I can make you feel bad for them by the end of the movie.
You kind of do.
Like, you lean towards, like, I don't want to see Captain Spaulding die. The other two, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like that was an accomplishment, especially coming off of the House of 1,000 Corpses coming into that.
Like, you know, every time you almost feel sympathy for baby Firefly, she laughs.
Yeah.
Then you want her to die.
Well, if you're a shallow, straight man, she also shows her ass in every movie, so then you feel bad about it again. Wait, why do I like her? Oh, there it is.
There it is. That's her good side.
But I haven't been able to bring myself to watch Three from Hell yet because Sid Haig looks just so unbelievably almost dead in that.
Yeah, well, he was almost dead when they were filming it. So.
And there was a, like, the movie almost didn't happen because they didn't want Sid Haig on the set because he could die at any moment. And they weren't sure about the liability issues. And Rob Zombie said, if he can't do the scene, we're not going to do the movie, even though you've already fronted all this money and people have been paid. So they ended up getting him in for the one scene. And I should watch it, but I just hadn't brought myself to do it yet.
Friend of mine said that's probably one of his best scenes. Like, he puts a lot of effort into that thing and goes out with a bang, as it were.
Well, it's Halloween, so I should probably watch it.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of horror films this month, as is my tradition. I've been trying to catch ones that I haven't caught in a long time, so today I watched The Grudge 2.
No.
Which reminded me of how much I didn't like The Grudge 2.
That was Sarah Michelle Gellar, wasn't Buffy in the first one?
Yeah, and then she's at the beginning of the second one. And they're like, oh, good, the actor that you kind of wanted to see. Yeah, after her scene, she's not in it long.
So they H2O'd her from Jamie Lee Curtis. She get fucking stabbed to death 10 minutes into that movie.
Something like that, yeah.
We watched The Boogeyman last night.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's the new Stephen King, whatever. I mean, it's fine. The monster's cool.
The monster was cool. It was hard to suspend my disbelief because the people just kept doing the most unrealistic things. And yeah, that was difficult for me to, because like usually you can jump scare me very easily. And he tried a lot, and it was, I think, only one time that I jumped in that whole movie.
I tend to just scream for no reason sometimes to see who I can scare, and it's mostly just the dogs.
The group I was watching it with, we kind of started focusing on what a terrible father that psychiatrist was.
Awful. Like, the kids never scream for their dad because this dude was such an absent father. But I mean, still, even then, like, I would be screaming for my sister or somebody, but they just were like, I guess I'm on my own here.
Like, from the beginning, like, well, he's not going to help.
It did bring up a pretty funny joke, I thought, where it was like, he's a therapist, right? He charges for therapy. And he's in the room with his daughter. They're talking about how their mom had just died. She's like, why don't you just talk to me about it? And he just gets up and leaves. And I was like, he should have turned around and just been like, you can't afford me, honey. And like, I know how much you make, daughter. It's not enough for my time. Ta-ta.
All right. So tonight we're going to be playing a game I'm running. It's tentatively called... Whoa, did we lose Toker? No, okay, there he is. Tentatively called Unedited Playtest Footage of a Bear. It is... That's a joke, never mind. It's a thus far nameless system that is I've been working on in my spare time, and I wanted to run more of a modern urban fantasy kind of thing. So this will be taking place in the modern setting. And basically it's going to be just a hybrid urban fantasy horror thing. We'll try to come up with more solid like naming conventions by next time.
I thought you were calling it urban fantasy.
Oh, I just scribble shit down. In my notes it's UFO, urban fantasy occult.
Yeah.
So no aliens?
It's a big switch. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Like, I love aliens. This is about werewolves. God damn it.
Damn. Fucking
from
shit.
Space!
Okay.
Probably watch that on TV.
I'm back in.
So, I asked everyone to make a character that is a person from the modern world who has been touched by some weirdness in their background.
Not an uncle.
Everyone pretty much delivered. Who wants to like give me a description of their character?
Not it.
I'll go.
Sure. Not so, like a physical description, but like, you know, your name. Well, yeah, tell me about your character.
So about 10, 12 years ago, my character, Niels, basically was awoken one night. It was flashing lights, almost a stereotypical type of UFO abduction from a movie or something, but it's just weird sounds. He's calling for his wife. She's missing. But once he gets outside, he sees her the lights are out there. You can't see what it is, but she is she's basically almost like a transparent ghostly figure at that point, and disappears as something grabs her and takes her to the darkness. So obviously he calls the police, does all the normal things that you would, you know, do in a panic, crazy situation like that, and eventually he's accused of her murder and tried and just found not guilty because there's no evidence. They can't figure out what happened to her, but she is but he has to move and kind of take on a new identity and try to start a new life somewhere else. But at the same time, he's just obsessed with trying to figure out what happened to his wife that was mysteriously murdered and disappeared.
Tugger, you want to go since no one else is volunteering?
You're only buying yourself mere moments by not going before me. I'll be playing the part of Sheriff Joe Bob Brunson, a 74-year-old former town sheriff. By former, I mean he hasn't been a town sheriff since the late 80s, early 90s. It was a case in November of 1989 that spawned a lot of weirdness, and I think maybe I'll save some of that for actual roleplay episodes, but it caused him to be estranged from his wife and his child, and he left town disgraced and accused of a lot of things, and now he is a very poorly paid private eye in a town that's too big for him. I think when we first meet him, he'll be living in an RV campsite somewhere in a shitty old trailer, one of those old trailers that's so unkempt that he has to step certain ways on the floor because of all the soft spots.
Oh, like my house.
Yeah. And parts of this house. But that's beside the point. I lived in a 1950s trailer for many years out in Cross, so I picture that just... The windows are busted, so it's just like plastic and tape. And a very unkempt, grimy.
I showed your trailer tonight.
Private eye.
All right.
just an old man who's struggling to get by and is still tormented by the incident from 1989.
Okay, that's been a while. Mahogany or Kev, do I have any volunteers?
All right, I'll go ahead. I'll be playing Malcolm Dice. And he is a B&E expert. Criminal will steal anything if you pay him enough money. And got tricked into stealing a coin and was cursed from it. And, you know, make his curse is, he's still learning it. He's just fresh to this whole
world of weirdness. Yes.
Yeah. The whole occult is unknown to him. He's being thrown into the deep end.
All right. Malcolm Dice, you say, is your character's name now?
Yeah.
All right, Mahogany, that just leaves you. What we got?
Alrighty then. I'm basically just going to read that whole thing.
All right, well, knock yourself out.
So, my character, her real name is probably unknown to you all, but she's 23. She was born in Trenton, New Jersey. Her last known residence was Ithaca College student housing / a van. Her former occupation, she was a student intern at Analytics and Institutional Research at Ithaca College. Her known associates, Professor Jay Nightshade, possible faculty member at Ithaca College, Stephen Titus George, a writer in residence at Cornell University / professional liar, and PJ. We think that maybe it's a pet, small / toy breed dog. Her known aliases, Danielle Steele, spelled STEAL, Alice Mayne, Radicchio Jones, Some Like It Hot, Janet Johnson, Erasabeth Hug and Kiss, Amanda D. Pinden, and Jacqueline, and Christina Smith. Her physical description: she is a 5'9" African-American female, medium build, hazel eyes, ginger sister locks, freckles, dimples, vitiligo spots visible on hands, arms, neck, and legs, and a cow tattoo on her right calf with the text, "Moo, bitch." Let's see.
Sure.
The weird event that kind of was the catalyst to her whole involvement in this goes as follows. I walk into a room where a support group is meeting, Supernatural Encounters Anonymous or something of the sort. It's my first time in Dallas, but it was pretty easy to find this group. The guys in Houston pointed me in the right direction. It's the first time I've seen one set up like this, where the chairs are arranged in a circle, and conveniently there's just one empty seat left. I grab a paper cup of coffee and a stale cookie from the table by the door and take my seat. When it's my turn to share, I take a deep breath, pull my hood tight in a gesture of comfort, and begin. You can call me Alice. I used to be the most normal girl. A typical college student gearing up for graduation. I had friends, paid internship at a prestigious research lab, parents that cared about me, siblings that looked up to me, hobbies. I was just living my life, you know? Everything was moving along like it was supposed to. If I hadn't had to stay late in the lab that Thursday, everything probably would have kept on moving. I was rushing because, like I said, I had to stay late. My boss was leaving for a big conference the next morning, and I procrastinated all week instead of summarizing the data she needed from me. So it was my own fault that I was typing furiously until 8 p.m., which made me miss my bus, which made me miss my train, so I had to shell out for a taxi if I was going to get home, shower, and change in time for my date. I guess I could have called it off, but she was hot and really smart, and I hadn't gotten laid in a while, so I was motivated to not fuck it up. So I booked the car, I gathered my shit, and I hauled it to the street where I could clearly see my car already waiting for me. A dark blue sedan with a driver named Toby, and I remember snickering at the name and wondering what kind of guy Toby was gonna be as I burst out the double doors. Please don't be a talker, Toby. I am not in the mood. I was halfway to the car when I heard a screeching and a thud from behind me. So I turned around to see what it was, and then I saw an ocean pulsating between my ears, a metallic taste in my mouth. I saw the sounds crashing in my skull, and I can't tell up from down, and I'm tumbling head over heels in an inky sea. I can't remember. And as soon as I stop trying to remember, the sound fades, my vision clears, the vertigo fades. I take a deep breath, and I continue. So one second, I'm turning around to see what made the sound, and then suddenly it's the next afternoon. I'm at home in my bed, fully dressed in yesterday's clothes, staring up at my ceiling fan. I have no idea what happened in between. The harder I try to remember it, the further away the memories are, like a waking dream, fading even as it happens. It shook me. I started looking for answers, but I didn't even have the questions, just a lack of memories that I couldn't forget. So I started looking for questions. What's out there that could make me forget so completely? That seemed to fight back when I tried to remember. I started researching in my spare time. The more I found out, the more questions I had. So I started skipping classes to meet up with people I met online who had similar experiences. Eventually, I stopped going to classes altogether. I stopped going out with friends, stopped visiting my family. My research took me deeper and deeper into the creepy and weird. The more I knew, the more I needed to know. It consumed me. I was obsessed and growing increasingly paranoid. It's a wonder I kept my job as long as I did. Well, I technically quit, but I didn't find out till I got fired when I showed up the next day. So, you know, I was 8 hours left, 8 hours late for my shift, something like that. Anyway, I got evicted from my apartment shortly thereafter. I had the money, I just kind of forgot to pay the bills. What can I say? My research keeps me busy. It's cool, though. I got everything I need in my van. I got a roof over my head, I got transportation, I got Wi-Fi, and I got the best roommate a girl could ask for. I bend down and I scratch a ratty stuffed animal behind the ears. Ain't that right, PJ? Who's the goodest boy? You are. I feed the stuffed dog a bit of my cookie and I straighten up. Thanks for letting me share, guys.
All right. See, that's how you do it, boys. Jesus.
Pretty good. I like it.
2 a.m.
Oh, no. You said you wanted to save it. Saving it.
Yeah,
now.
I'll save it. Yeah, I just I figured it would come up when whatever. Yeah, show off.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
It was a good story.
I'm going last next time.
Who are you?
If you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure people could picture like the ginger sister ox, the vitiligo on the little girl, and then my little that's it's not a sock puppet, but
it looks like, a pet stop com dog.
I don't know, maybe it is. I just stole the picture off the interwebs.
I don't Harris, you got a sock puppet right there next to you, don't you?
Somewhere.
Mm. Is it a doggy?
No, it's a crazy in a tinfoil hat.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, it was on one of that our guy. Shows.
Yes, I still have a picture of it. I could have just used that one.
All right. So, at some point in your recent history, you have been contacted. At first, it seems a little strange. You've been basically picked out of the blue, and you guys have been targeted like this before by pranks or tabloid media or just weirdos you've met online. But this one seemed different, more to the point. They seemed like they were offering money. Real money.
I like money.
So once they had contacted you, like, what is you were contacted by a organization that calls themselves the Bradford Volkov Group. Those of you with computer access and basically who think that way probably go immediately to look them up, and you do find them online. They are earmarked as legit. Like, they're a legit business for the most part. You see that they have an investigative wing, and they have some other services that they don't really talk about. But they seem to be mostly a private investigatory service. And they're offering you a job. Moreover, they're offering you to basically fly or drive or give you a train ride up to the job in question if you're willing to relocate and house you.
I negotiate for gas money, mileage, and routine maintenance when I arrive in the place for my van.
The pleasant woman on the phone you talk to is more than happy to provide all those things for you. The offer, incidentally, is $1,500 a week.
Plus expenses. Yes. Okay.
Fuck, is this for real? Because
seriously.
Sign me up.
I was like, where do I send my application again?
You are given an address in Baltimore to either, however you choose to get there, you obviously are driving. What do you want to go by for this episode?
This episode, I will be Jacqueline.
All right, Jacqueline, you obviously decided to drive because you have your vehicle and you are pretty attached to it. How you get there, of course, is interesting to me as a way to scope, to like gauge your character. How do you get there? Are you driving? Do you take a train, plane, hitchhike?
A drone?
Well, I'm talking about the rest of them.
I go for the train overnight.
All right, you take the Amtrak.
I mean, I'll Niels will take the plane. He's good with that. Yeah, he's fine with flying. Good with the plane. Get there quick.
Niels, your plane lands in Baltimore, and you basically grab an Uber, ask them to take to the address they give you, and you don't have a problem getting there. How about you, Joe Bob?
Joe Bob's going to drive a, it's an old beat up truck.
Okay.
What little possessions he has, is this worth anything, or in like a really old bag, like a surplus kind of bag?
Oh, okay.
And it's like his whole life is in there, but it's just easier to drive places because he wants to have his nightly boozing, and it's hard to get on a plane with his firearm. Doesn't go anywhere without that anymore. So he finds the drive is better. He probably didn't really even hassle to get the what Jacqueline got. He was just like, ah, fuck it, I'll go to Baltimore, you know. So he hopped in the car and he hauls ass. You know, he might not have his RV when he comes back to stay in. He doesn't really care.
All right. When you guys all arrive, you're in one of the peripheral surrounding little townlets that make up the greater Baltimore area, a place called Poppleton. And the place is pretty run down, like a lot of surrounding Baltimore. It looks like there's been some urban renewal of late, but not a lot. And you see a lot of houses that are, or not a lot, you see several houses that are abandoned. You see a lot of things that have been knocked down. And you see a lot of things that are taped off for construction. Like this place, it looks like it's succumbing to the inevitable march of gentrification. But the town, the area is still itself is still not one of the best. And you look at the address you're given. Your Uber drops you off, Niels.
Was it Toby?
Hmm?
So was it Toby? Was he a talker?
No. It was a woman named Mary. And she was.
Ugh, the worst.
Overly chipper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to...
She says, you be careful out here. This isn't a great, like, neighborhood.
I'm used to it.
She pops the trunk for you to get your bags and wishes you a good luck and enjoy your... She looks around, stay, and she looks at what you're looking at, your address.
Yeah, Niels will grab his duffel in the rectangular hard case from the back.
Mm-hmm.
Jacqueline will have parked her van in the nearest high-rise parking garage, preferably somewhere near the very top, and walked to the location.
All right, well, it's a long... After consulting your maps, you realize it's a very long walk.
What do you mean? What is very long, in your opinion?
About 4 or 5 miles.
Okay, well then she probably caught a Lyft or an Uber or whatever.
All right.
And made sure to bring some snacks for her puppy to make sure that he doesn't get ornery.
Kev, after you left the train, you caught a cab or Uber or whatever. And you get to the same area, and you guys are... You see a small gathering beginning to form outside of what you are pulling up to, Joe Bob, is a very large fenced-off area, like a chain-link fence with the plastic slats between them for privacy, with looping barbed wire around the tops. But it's easy to tell what this place is because there's a very large and faded and chipped sign on the outside. It is, which reads, Space Saver Self-Storage. Secure it safely with the Storage Serpent, which has a cartoon snake in a security guard outfit. It's easy to see what's on the other side. It looks like a two-story self-storage business. But the gates that you pull up to are locked, padlocked. And you see there's a small gathering of 3 other people waiting on the outside of it as well.
We found somewhere convenient to park.
You can park on the street, or basically you can park on the street. It's not a very busy part of the neighborhood.
Yeah, just park on the street and hop out and light another smoke and make sure the tap, even though it's like 2023, he's still got the manual lock, so it's the, he reaches to the passenger and slaps the lock button down.
Gotcha. Lock button. I'm picturing like a 88 F-150.
Honestly. Yeah, yeah. It's got 450,000 miles on it.
More rust colored than anything.
Yeah, I can see the highway through the floorboard.
Was silver and red, now mostly brownish.
Yeah. It's been through it. But he can keep it running. It's basically, the engine has basically three parts, so he can keep it running.
But yeah, you guys all basically are, you find yourself surrounded by three other people, each of you, on the outside of an old youth store. It's basically that has a locked gate. Doing anything?
Fields is, he's got a ball cap on. He's kind of got his head down and just kind of, honestly, he's on his phone, just researching the location where he's at, trying to figure out, you know, where they are, what kind of building this is, what's around him,
like that. You look it up and you find that it is still in the local phone directory.
Okay.
And let's see.
So it have padlock on it, or was it a button lock?
It's a padlock, you know, with a keyhole, a master lock.
I mean, I'm going to walk right past them and just jiggle the lock. I feel like that's what sometimes they don't lock these things all the way.
This one locked up tight. And the lock is new, as are the chains.
And then this is for the Bradford, what group?
The Bradford the Volkov group.
Volkov.
Bradford Volkov.
Cov.
Jacqueline's going to scoff at that lock, mainly because...
We feel like we're all at the right place. I mean, we all arrived here at the same time.
Are we on time? Are we late?
Office, we're at the right time.
You guys were told to be here on a date, particular date.
When I'm walking 18th. Up to go check the lock, I'm just going to look at the group of them and be like, Volkov, and then jiggle the lock.
Well, I say Jacqueline.
Joe Bob Brunson. Nice to meet you, Jacqueline.
You too, Niels.
You jiggle the lock and you see that it is indeed locked. The padlock is new, as are the chains. Everything else here seems pretty rusty and old. This building has a certain look to it that makes you think that it's been abandoned for a pretty long time. You don't see from your vantage point and through the narrow little gaps in the plastic, cracking plastic privacy slats, much going on except for a single white van further back down in the parking areas.
Niels will do something. He's still on his phone. He's going to try to do some, a little bit deeper dive on the location as far as like through the dark web and stuff like that. So if anything pings or comes up, there's some property searches or titles.
Give me a research check. For this game, the DC is always 15. So you'll know if you make it or not almost instantly.
And all so right. You're rolling a Go D20 on. Plus...
You're rolling a D20 plus your skill plus your stat. It's very similar to many other games in that way.
Plus your skill plus your stat?
Yep.
Wow.
So it's a pretty good... I like the odds.
You have four stats in this game. In my notes, this is called Bash, which is brawn, agility, smarts, and heart. So if you're making a research check and you have skill points in research, that's a smart skill. So you roll your skill modifier for research plus your smarts.
Okay.
On D20. And you're trying to get a 15 up. That's basically it.
I like it. I like the odds. I did it. I got it.
All right. You begin doing a little research while you're waiting out, and you the only thing you really find on this address is like one single newspaper article on the Wayback Machine in a weird news category that states that there's a that the hold on sorry I forgot what I wrote down the Space Saver cell storage in Baltimore, Maryland, recently closed down as it had no further interest from the public, as every single person who had used the business to date all died on the same day, a mere 1 year after its opening in 2003. The locals say it's cursed and they don't want anything to do with it. It just has a few local flavors, and like the article seems mostly like a joke, but it doesn't give you a number for how many people were using it. So it could have been a very underutilized place where a few old people died all at once and everyone got suspicious, or it could be something more.
But there's no other like police articles or anything other than that one article on the fact that all these people died on the same date.
You'll find once you begin looking down that avenue, you find references to it, but a lot of it becomes like internet lore where they kind of sand off the names and locations. And around 2007, it becomes a creepypasta for a while. And then after about 2011, people stop reposting things like that.
How long ago did this place close then? Sorry.
2004.
And this is where they told us to meet them?
It is.
I mean, the lock's new. Somebody kept the lock.
Somebody came here. Is it big enough where there's like around the corner, there's another side of it where it's facing the street? Or does it look like there might be some other way to get in?
The only thing next to the building itself is a tenement, or not tenement, what do you call them? A row of townhouses, but half of them have been demolished. So basically, it's a pile of bricks, two townhouses, one obviously boarded up, and one that is obviously still in use in that it has windows and locks on the door and bars on the windows and things like that. But other than that, the building is on a corner. So further down the street on the other side, you see it looks to be like a convenience store. You see advertisements for beer, cigarettes, lottery, the usual stuff.
Said there was a van down the street as well.
I'm sorry.
You said there was a van earlier down the street.
No, I said that.
It's on the inside of the gate.
Could see the van on the inside of the fence.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. How high is this fence?
It is about 8 feet plus the spiraling barbed wire.
Okay. Run over that. I feel like if they were going to be like, Jacqueline is intermittently mumbling inside her hoodie, talking to something in there and looking over the fence saying, hello,
right?
Anybody?
You hear the young woman's voice echoing across the parking lot of the Space Saver self-storage, the quadruple S. And
did they give us a time, just the day?
Just the date, yeah.
And we're here early in the morning, I take it?
Yeah, let me roll for that. How about that? I'll roll. You guys are here at 10 a.m.
One of y'all hang here for a minute. I'm going to go get supplies from the little gas station across the street. And I'm going to post up here and wait. See if anybody shows before nightfall. And then I just head off without getting a confirmation.
Wait, what are you getting? What?
Cheap smokes, maybe something to drink. He says, a little embarrassed.
It's north of Virginia. It's north of Virginia. Even the cheap smokes aren't cheap.
Yeah.
Bring me back some chips.
I need some cash.
I think I got like five. I think I got about five. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hand him a fiver.
And if I'm you don't like, want change, and he walks off.
But. I haven't heard much from you, Kev. What do you got? What do you think about all this?
I think what I'm waiting for, the guy that has that walk of a cop, once he's actually in the building, I think right. I'm
well, gonna, he disappears around the corner immediately, like.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and poke around in this lock and take off this chain, see what's actually inside here.
Okay.
We were invited.
Well, give me
a I don't know if Niels would be cool with that, but it's, I'm fine. Niels is going to sit down on his hard case and prepare to wait for a little while. Definitely don't want to break into the place that's supposed to be hiring us for $1,500 a week.
All right, Kev, give me a lockpicking check.
I've rolled a 10 with my lockpick at 4 and agility at 3 gives me a 17.
All right. Then, okay, roll your skill action die.
My skill action die is a D6, and I got a 2.
Okay. You begin working on the lock as the two remaining people here out there begin to just sort of mill around. You guys obviously see what he's doing. How about you, Jacqueline? You see this guy immediately, like, just begin duck and whip out some lockpicks and being going to town on it. What are you thinking about that one?
I actively ignore him and start just rummaging through, like, underneath my hoodie. I'm wearing a fishing vest with a bunch of pockets, and I'm also wearing cargo shorts that are stuff full. So I'm just, like, rummaging through the stuff in my pockets.
All right, Kev, give me a secondary check.
A secondary check. D20 rolls a nat 20. Look at that.
All right. Yeah, then
so 27.
Then roll your skill dice. Double your skill die and roll it.
All right. I rolled another 2 and a 6. So right. 8 on the double.
All right. That gives you a 10, which is what I was looking for. You rather quickly begin to pick the lock. It snaps open in short order. And you're able to just pull the big lock off, and the chains just unravel themselves and fall to the ground.
Master lock's cheap.
Who wants to go see what's inside our meeting place?
I want to wait for my chips.
All right.
Hope you got sour cream and onion.
Joe Bob, you come into the very, like, old convenience store here. It doesn't have gas or anything. It's just a store that sells beer and snacks and lotto tickets and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not even
bodega.
You'd call it a bodega, but it doesn't have any actual, like, prepared food or anything.
It's got cheap.
It's just cheap, a corner store. Quote,
liquor, yeah, store. Cigarettes, and snacks.
Correct.
Yeah, so I'll get a cheap bottle of booze.
The man behind the counter looks at you. From over his newspaper, and he's like, "I don't recognize you."
You shouldn't. I just got here, and I just keep shopping.
He's like, "You with that crew next door?"
And then I try not to notice, like, perk my interest up, but go, "You talking about you saw us out there waiting, or the crew of the." I wrote it down. The Space Saber Safe Storage.
Yeah, them.
Well, they've been doing some activity out there recently. We just showed up today, supposed to start a job, but nobody's there letting us in.
Well, I was under the impression the damn place was condemned, but a couple months ago, some vans show up, windows get wiped, a little bit of patching goes up. And next thing I know, they have an ad in the newspaper.
Oh, what they hiring for here locally? They ship me in from out of state.
He's like, "Well, I don't think anybody's going to bite anybody. You ain't heard about the curse on that place, have you?"
Nervous laughter, trying to sound casual. Curses. Yeah, I don't buy into all that.
Well, normally I don't either. Like, you know, that's just bullshit, superstition, shit you tell kids. But about 2003, And I know this because my cousin's friend's aunt was one of the victims. And I'm saying victims on purpose.
Mm. Plural.
Yeah. Yes. All on the same day, everybody that had shit in that building died. Some of them died of old age. Some of them got ate up by their cancer finally. 4 different accidents. And I'm talking gruesome shit. Hit by a bus. Fell out of a window in a fucking 7-story building. I think somebody even got hit by a piano. I might be wrong about that one. I've been watching Tom and Jerry all morning. Point is, 25 people died on the same day, and every one, last one of those motherfuckers had shit in that building.
Hmm.
So I'm just saying, if you're planning on working there, storing shit there, I'd be a little aware.
Well, I appreciate the heads up, but you know, might do your business good having us all working next door. And then I grab, you know, the thing of liquor and some Slim Jims. I go to walk off like, oh, chips. I turn around and look.
You see if there's a sale on Takis.
That'll do. Scratch off the sales sticker afterwards so it looks like it costs more than it did.
Eventually, Joe Bob comes back from the little convenience store carrying his treasure haul.
And I filled my flask up before they could see me and then left the bottle behind so I could secretly nip.
Okay.
It's obvious, but it's in secret.
Secret.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we don't smell. You don't reek of alcohol or anything.
He's basically already drunk.
When you get there, you find that the lock has been opened and the chain is on the ground and everyone seems to be waiting around for you.
Oh, they come let us in. He looks at, can I roll something to see if I know who seems like the most guilty to pick that lot?
I don't know. What does your character look like, Kevin? Like physically?
I am a very small, very scrawny guy.
He did it.
Not much to me at all.
A little oily one with the
little oily thief like one. Yeah, I mean, he waited until I walked off because he knew I had a cop walk. I'm gonna be like, you look like a thief.
Hey, they invited us. I just made sure we get in.
Some people would call that initiative. Others would call that a crime.
Yeah, I think everybody was going breaking in.
All right. Who's going in first?
I will.
Go ahead.
All right. Then you guys start heading in. Once you're inside the gates, you can see that the area opens up. It's a nice, long, 2-story building. You see that there, the painted on the wall is climate controlled. As if that is a big selling point for a place. 24-hour security on the other side. And, of course, you see a couple more portrayals of that snake in the snake form-fitting security guard cartoon character.
As they're walking in, I'm going to slide the chain over to the side of the driveway or whatever that was blocking us in. I'm going to put the lock in my pocket.
Okay.
And do a look for if there's any cameras.
You see there are actually cameras on the little foyer that leads into the front office. And once you begin looking, make an awareness check for me.
Nope.
Okay, then you see the obvious stuff. The ones on the... that are aiming towards the gate, the front office, and it doesn't look like the place otherwise is terribly well monitored.
I got a little smoke in my eye when I was looking around.
Okay. The door is an old, you know, like full window glass door. It's got like the big handle on the front, and this one does not seem locked. It basically kind of wobbles in the wind as you approach. As the chilly October wind kind of dips into the parking lot, is distorted by the privacy fence and adds an extra layer of chill to the space saver self-storage.
Is there power and or lights?
You see lights on in the... You see the lights on in the main office as you approach. There's a couple of dim old lights. Not all of them seem to be working. There's a couple of fluorescents that are kind of flickering.
Oh, sorry, Jacqueline. Who's your talkies?
Wait.
A question. So, are we?
They're the blue kind.
So, are we?
My favorite.
Is this like the assignment that we were given, or is this where we're supposed to come for like to start the job? Like, yeah, I'm a little confused on that.
I feel this is like the this address is the you were given.
Yeah, to meet your boss, basically.
Okay, that's what I was. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like Jacqueline's gonna be like, first of all, like she's looking out for cameras in every direction and specifically not looking into them, like pretending like she doesn't know that they're there, but definitely on the lookout for cameras.
All right.
And just being real loud, like, hello, we're here.
Okay.
Anybody?
All right. Y'all going in the building?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done searching the outside or not.
As they open the door, I'll be like, just casually, you know, the local legend I heard just across the street is that everybody here died at some point. After you.
As you get in and you begin calling out for help, you can immediately see that there's a sign on the front window. The window has a plexiglass shield above it. It's just like a standard security guard booth with like a little desk. And you see an old tube monitor, a keyboard. You're guessing there's probably a way past its prime Dell computer somewhere underneath that desk. But you also see mainly on a bright yellow sheet of paper taped to the plexiglass. Office upstairs. And that's all it says. Office upstairs.
This is office upstairs,
do we see
okay.
Stairs?
Yes, you do see a set of stairs going up on either side of the entranceway. Basically, this place is two long halls, one to the left, one to the right, and on the second floor, the same that you get up to via a set of wide stairs.
What do you think, PJ? Left or right? Left or right? Left or right? Left. Okay. And then she starts heading up the left staircase.
Okay. As you're heading up the left staircase and get to the top, you can see another yellow piece of paper taped to the floor with an arrow pointing to the very far end of the hall. It says, office in back.
This way, you guys! Office is in the back! And then I'll head back to the office.
Alright. You guys, you begin moving across linoleum floors with, like, old scuff marks from carts and things like that. And you can see some of the old carts that they would use the haul items in and about on the second floor. You're guessing that there's some sort of freight elevator somewhere along this building to get shit to the second floor. And as you're heading down there, you can see the closed and shuttered storage units. And mostly what you hear is your own footfalls, though, as you head down the storage building. And once you get to the far end, there is a nice polished wooden door with brass handles that look like they've only recently been polished, with a little placard that says Bradford Volkov.
I will wrap my hoodie around my hand and push it open.
All right.
So I don't want to leave my fingerprints on that freshly polished brass.
Okay. You push the door open a smidge and you hear the sounds of daytime television.
Was that Maury?
Yes, that's your brand. Yes, it is. Yes, it is Maury. And you are not the father. Congratulations.
And I start doing the dance.
The thing you are the area you're presented with immediately is a kickback to some of your youths, and some of you to old movies you've seen. The whole room is wood paneled. It's got lush orange shag carpeting. There is a big wide desk at the far end. There's shelving on the walls, but those look new. And sitting in a large leather chair smoking a cigarette is a stout, short man, probably in his mid-60s, wearing a checked jacket and a black tie over a blue shirt, who raises eyebrows and quickly whips around, stubs out a cigarette. Holy moly, you folks are punctual.
Phew! You know, it's 2023 and that's the smoke inside. Ugh.
It's all right. We own the place.
It's nasty. Ugh.
He says, ugh. But if it makes you more comfortable, he stubs his cigarette out. Sorry. He reaches over to his phone, one of those old-fashioned, like, office phones, and presses a button. Tina, are you there? He waits for a moment. Tina! Then you hear a beep from his jacket. He pulls out his phone. He's like, it's a text from Tina. Hold on. He begins to talk to you. All right. Sorry. Have a seat. Pull up some chairs. You see there are a few chairs around that you could pull up. None of them match. A couple of them are folding. One of them is a very ornate, like almost a throne-like chair that's up against the wall. Okay.
I go back to doing the Not the Father dance.
Okay. The older man at the in the chair watches you for a moment, smiles, and then clicks the TV off. Sorry, my dear.
I was watching that.
Oh, well, you know. It was a rerun anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I could see it again.
Have a seat. He stands up, and you see the man is maybe 5'5 in his shoes. I'm Felix Holloway. I've talked to some of you on the phone. Do you remember my voice? And he's got a very, like, you know, gravelly voice.
Those cigarettes.
please. Recognizes him.
Please have a seat. I'm so glad that you all... He looks down at his paperwork, like a legal pad, and says...
It said the office of Bradford Volkov, but this is Felix Holloway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't suppose you guys met a Ned Mickelson out there, did you?
There was a Neil. There was a... What was your name again, guys?
I'm struggling to remember everybody's name in the party. I got it written down out of character, but in character, he's just like,
you guys seem to nobody seems to be here. Name's Niels Mikkelsen. So he pulls out a fountain pen and scratches through the name, puts it back up, flicks it in, and he says, "Well, almost everyone showed, and that's good news for me." Again, I'm Felix Holloway. Welcome to the Bradford Volkov Investigatory arm of Bradford Volkov Group. Boy, it's been a long time since I've had to do one of these, but you know. It's been a long time since I've done a desk job, so I really wish Tina was here. I'm sorry. There's a brief knock on the door, and a young black woman dressed in, like, you know, smart business attire steps in. Hello, how are you doing? Ah, Tina, thank goodness. This is my assistant, Tina. I can't get anything done without her around here. Tina nods as if it is absolutely true, with no smidgen of humility about her. I am your recruiting and assignment agent for Bradford Volkov Investigations. If you indeed still want to take the job, and I'm all glad you showed up. Let's see. So that brings us Niels Fletcher. You, he points at you, Matt. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me.
Joe Bob Brunson. Is that a Joseph Robert or
No.
All right. Malcolm Dice, I guess that's you over here, since you're the only male presenting fellow here.
And that's me, Jacqueline. Hey, it's Jacqueline. How are you? And this is PJ.
He looks at you for a moment and says, "All right, Jacqueline. So, I don't know if you had much time to discuss amongst each other, but I've brought you all here to bring you into the fold of Bradford Volkov. Bradford Volkov is a fairly storied investigatory and archival group. I'm probably going to gloss over a lot here, so if you have any specific questions, feel free to ask. We were founded in 1913 by a Mr. Bradford and Volkov a long time ago. During the spiritualism craze, they basically started a psychic research institute in Cambridge. And over the years, that kind of has blossomed into various different business ventures, that finally settling into a fairly well-respected private investigation service. We do tend to also take on those psychic investigations, occult investigations, things like that, which is where you folks, who I've recruited and tracked down over the last couple of months, come in. Regular Bradford Volkov investigations, they just do the normal stuff, but we are a special unit within it. There's a couple of us. People who have experience with the strange and who are suited, prepared, and interested in the supernatural. Now, I know a good deal about at least what I could search on your various backgrounds, and you don't have to share them amongst each other if you don't want to. But just know that I know about you. Now, you don't, I know you don't know anything about me. There's not much to know, really.
Do we?
Excuse me, but I know when you first contacted me, you left me a note that said, "I believe you." So it kind of led me to believe that you not only knew about me, but perhaps knew something about my late wife.
Well, that's the thing about belief. It's ultimately a context-free thing. I believe that the events that you described happened. And if you're here to learn about your various personal stories in a more detailed way, you wouldn't be the first. We pay pretty well, and you will have a great deal more resources at your fingertips if you work for us, if you continue to work for us, to investigate. And he looks across the room. Any lingering questions you might have about your experiences. But at the end of the day, this is a business, and we will be paying you to do a job. So, you know, try to at least stay on task if you can. You see Tina head over to an ancient-looking sidebar, and she asks, would anyone like a drink?
What you got?
Let's see. She looks over gin, vodka, scotch, pineapple rum, and what is this? I can't. It's Russian. I can't pronounce it.
No scotch. Bourbon?
No.
Guess I'll settle for scotch. Okay. Neat, though.
Two scotches.
And do you have some water, maybe, for the dog? Something I can put. You know, he's thirsty.
Oh, I fed the dog already.
No, he's thirsty. PJ.
She turns around and looks at your stuffed dog and says, well, if you insist, sure. But I'm surprised that you noticed her, to be honest with you, or still not getting it. Holloway points to the corner of the room where you see an ancient dog bed smashed utterly flat by the portly dachshund snoozing within it.
Oh, they can share. She walks the dog over there.
All right. Whenever you walk the dog over there, you see that the portly dachshund has like a yellow kerchief around its neck.
Roll initiative.
No shit.
Felix Holloway says, ah, yes, that's my my dear friend, Mrs. Pendleton.
Mrs. The dog Pendleton? Farts. This is PJ.
The dog farts, waking itself up and growls a moment, looking confused, and then goes back to sleep.
Aw, she likes him.
Sorry, she's getting up in years. Your drinks are served. Did you order a drink? Kev and...
Oh, yeah. So there's free booze. Old Brunson's getting some.
She's like, I'm sorry we don't have a greater selection. This is just what we pulled out of the various units.
Mm. What about that curse? You said something about a curse over there, Jim Bob?
That's Joe Bob. There's local rumor about a curse and a lot of deaths here. I suppose if all those people died, that's pretty hefty. Surplus you have here. People didn't come reclaim. What's going on in here?
Felix eyes you kind of like pointedly as you're talking. He says, oh, you're talking about the building. Yes. Well, this has been one of our investigation targets in the past, and honestly, we weren't able to make much of it. And chances are, as weird as it sounds, it might have just been a complete coincidence. The drinks are put down in front of you, and he pulls out a bottle out of his desk and begins to pour himself something out of a silver cup, that's a silver, not silver, crystal highball glass has been next to him.
It's fucking bourbon.
You see, he's a wild turkey guy.
That's whiskey.
Wild turkey's a bourbon.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, a yes. Good one. Tasty. Mm.
Yes.
Calm down.
That's right.
To you and right. Kevin, it was like softcore porn there. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Oh, yeah. That's good.
So good.
Oh, pour it slow. Yeah. Oh, pour real turkey. Slow.
Happy Halloween, guys. There's your nightmare.
Happy Halloween.
He finishes pouring himself and ties his bottle up, puts it in his desk. He's like, cheers to new beginnings.
All right. Cheers.
Hello.
All right. He tosses his drink back, puts it down, and watches the rest of you.
Jacqueline. Oh,
without hesitation.
Okay.
Jacqueline just like puts her tongue in it once.
Tastes fine.
No. And she doesn't drink it okay. anymore of it. But just sure, enough.
Put your tongue enough to ruin it for them to put it back in the bottle.
And just enough to make sure that, you know, you when you cheers, you have to drink or it's bad luck, but she doesn't want to actually drink it, but she tasted it just enough okay. to make sure that the bad luck wasn't going to happen.
All right. He talks to, addressing everyone who drank their drink, he's like, everyone feel okay?
Great.
I mean, I guess we're supposed to feel okay.
I don't like that kind of question after I just got through drinking.
He says, well, everything seems to be normal. He pulls out a folder and begins writing something and it snaps it closed and puts it in his desk. He's like, and that completes that. So, now that I have ultimate assurance that many things in here are safe, here is what you'll be getting as an employee of Bradford Volkov. You'll have, and I've had a little work done to the building. The bottom floor, I've had the back end converted to about 6 apartments, a kitchen area, bathroom, showers, etc. So if you don't want to try and find a place to rent around here, and I assure you, it's not cheap if you want somewhere nice, you can stay here. No problem. We also have an extra few units that can store vehicles if you want to put anything up. Travel expenses, of course, will be covered by Bradford Volkov. Any other expenses you would accrue on investigations, within reason, and I'm the guy signing off on that, so I will know the difference between car rental and a car lease.
Okay. While he's staring, I just slowly slide my empty glass on his desk and point at his cup and then point at mine like I want the same thing he was drinking.
All right. He sighs and pulls out the Wild Turkey and puts it on the desk, sliding it forward.
Oh, I filled the glass up.
Whatever makes you comfortable.
I toss the remainder of mine over my shoulder.
Look around everybody else. The good stuff. Anybody good stuff?
And then, pulled out my empty cup. I'll take some of that.
You know I have to mop that. You hear from behind you. Never mind. Whatever. Hey, this is Pendleton. Oh, we got a treat for you. You hear behind you. The older man sits back in his seat and says, "Do you have any questions for me?"
Is staying here deducted from the weekly? I forget. I wouldn't.
No, it's absolutely part of your pay, available for you to use at any time.
Then I'll be full advantage of that.
I'll be staying here.
Pay's going to be cash.
Yes, we don't deal with banks here.
Okay. Yeah, me neither.
Excellent.
$1,500 a week, though I have become a little bit more flexible that at the behest of Tina over here, and we will cash app you the money.
And then former sheriff Joe Bob Brunson gets a little bit more sheriffy and goes, "And when can me and you sit alone so you can tell me what you know about 1989?
He says, "Well, part of the hiring process is unfortunately going to take you out of my purview for at least a little while we try out your various skills. So... When you get back and you've decided you want to stay with us and we decide we want to keep you, we can discuss something then."
Well, you cut to the chase, Mr. Felix. There, tell us what the hell we're going to be doing.
I'd have figured I'd start with something simple. Upsetting. I'm going to send you into the darkest heart of white bread pretension. Montpelier, Vermont. Are you familiar with it?
No.
No. I'm from the Midwest.
Montpelier, let's go.
He's a simple item retrieval. Someone has an artifact that they finally decided to release into our custody, so you will be bringing them a cashier's check, and you will be bringing us the item. This is part of the Breath of Gold.
This is a cakewalk. Normally, I have to break into a safe and disarm security.
Sounds rather illegal.
Joe Bob checks his wallet still in his back pocket.
He's like... There has been a bit of a hitch, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
The item itself is guarded. And the owner of the item doesn't know how to shut the guardian down.
Kind of guardian?
Something weird is all he would tell me. And every time I try to press him for more information, he got very sketchy about it.
Well, that's not an answer. How am I supposed to prepare for something weird?
That's the problem with preparing for something weird. You're never prepared for something weird.
Maybe you're not, and I point to my glass again. They remember he gave me the bottle, and I just fill it back up.
Every time you think you got enough pockets, you realize you need more pockets.
He thinks for a moment. He's like, you know what? I don't want to keep you in the dark. He leans back in his chair. He's like, this is sort of a personal mission for me to see if you can do something. To see if you can accomplish what I need you to accomplish. Who here has heard of Duncan Hines?
Oh, yeah. That's the cake dude, right?
Well, he's definitely has a cake mix named after him, but Duncan Hines was a real guy. You've seen the logo on the cake box. It looks like it's got his name, and it's got that weird little symbol behind him.
That's symbol, not the one where you poke the belly and they go,
hoo-hoo. No, that's the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Okay.
Oh, the Duncan Hines, the graphic for the Duncan Hines is Duncan Hines' name, and it looks like a cake that's been sliced open, but it's not. It's just been so abstracted over the years. That's actually a book. Duncan Hines got famous for writing books, travelogues, about America, particularly places to eat. Well, what I'm looking for when you get down there is for a 1955 edition of Adventures in Good Eating by Duncan Hines. It's a very rare occult item.
Hey.
Spooky cakes?
I do a lore check to see if I know anything about that or have heard some rumors.
Right.
Spooky cakes. I think I got it because that's I rolled a 16, so that gets it regardless of whatever else. Yep. So,
you wreck your brain, and like you thought when you read about this initially, like a long time ago, it was a joke that there are occultists that collect a particular issue of a particular edition of a book by Duncan fucking Hines for its occult properties. Like, you've heard of this before, but no one seems, at least in your older rudimentary investigations, seems to have been able to tell exactly what it did.
Okay.
Felix leans back in his chair. He's like, this is an item that I've personally been looking for a long time. And Bradford Volkov has facilitated a number of my personal interests in various occult tomes. In this case, you're just going to retrieve something for me. I personally can't go near it because of reasons.
Well, that's a good
Do we know what's
reason.
Guarding it?
Hmm?
Do we know what's guarding it?
Something weird.
Something weird isn't in that... Whatever the owner thinks is guarding it is probably not what is actually guarding it. It's in a house owned by one of this fellow's relatives. And
so this
fellow is looking to sell this house and has been auctioning off the various antiques in it piecemeal until he found that he couldn't go into certain rooms without triggering something. And we're talking about, you know, bleeding walls, scary noises, your typical haunted house shit. But, you know, that's one thing we're pretty sure about. Duncan Hines was not a restless spirit. He doesn't guard his tomes particularly well. I'm not even sure if he knew he was writing an occult tome. It happens, you know.
So it's the original recipe for devil's food cake?
No. But, you know, feel free to get all those cake jokes out of your system.
I think I got like
this will take a while. Several layers to these jokes.
That was a good one. That was good.
Oh.
Moist.
Here's my...
Just the word moist.
Moist. He smiles and laughs along and says, that's the problem. You know, a lot of things we do seem ludicrous on their face and then until they get dangerous. Essentially, I'm sending you to into an unexamined haunted house. And I need you folks to, in addition to getting the artifact, if you find that it is indeed haunted, or some other occult properties that could be dangerous to the public, suss them out.
How are we supposed to know if it's haunted? Do we get like PKE reading meters, or
you in particular, Mr. Dice? He looks at you very pointedly. Are one of the reasons we're doing this one.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I'm not so keen on this anymore.
So, the only thing Tina over here needs to know is how you want to travel. You'll be traveling together. And you want to be able to, if you intend to bring... He looks around you. Weaponry, firearms, things like of that nature. We'll need to know what kind of licenses we have to get, what kind of packing permits, etc.
I mean, I got a van big enough for everybody. It's a little cluttery, but it'd be comfortable. And there's Wi-Fi, and there's a we could take turns driving.
Is this that's perfectly within your purview. If your group agrees to that, get up here and let us know. We have an on-staff tech support and mechanic guy. He'll be in tomorrow. His name's Gunther. So if your van needs any work,
we'll have Gunther look at it. I think it's due for an oil change, maybe like a rotating balance.
All right. He says, then we'll get all that knocked out. And you and the rest of the Scooby gang here can head on up to Vermont.
I mean, that's as long as no one has like, allergies. Not an option. Dog allergies.
I don't know if I want to be cramped up in a van with four other people for
How long of a drive is that? Just a whole day?
What, Maryland or Vermont? Yeah, probably about a day's driving.
Yeah. That's fine. I'll ride with the weirdo.
It's like there's only a passenger seat, but there's like, you know, and then there's some folding chairs in the back. There's plenty of space.
There's a mattress.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all do know that they're offering to pay for our travel expenses.
Yeah, we could do this first class.
We'll have to take a van, or we could take a train, or possibly even a bus. That would probably be better.
A bus? Have you been on a bus?
The psychic investigators coming by Greyhound.
Sitting on a metal chair in the back of somebody's van versus a bus? I'm going the bus.
All right. Well, while you guys discuss that, Mr. Holloway opens the door to his office, says, well, why don't you folks get settled in? We'll talk about the details, send you on your way as soon as possible. Tina, get these folks some... fast food, or give these folks some takeout, not fast food, something good.
We want oxtails.
You guys are basically shoved out into the hallway of the self-storage place.
And I yell over my shoulder as I'm being shoved out, sorry, I think PJ made a mess over there. I don't have any poopy bags.
The hallway echoes your voices as you're escorted downstairs into the back of the lower area where the storage units have been gutted and then rebuilt with, you know, standard kind of wood drywall kind of partitions that make up pretty basic rooms. Everyone has like a plug-in heater for the various rooms. This place is not exactly a high-class digs. But it's a roof over your head, a nice warm bed, and more money than you made in a long time. And we'll pick up there as you guys are heading out in whatever accommodations you choose next session.
All right, cool.
All right.
I'm intrigued. I must say I'm intrigued.
As you go to Montpelier to get a copy of a book by Duncan Hines that may be haunted.
Hearst cake!
Thank you for joining us this evening, My name is Terrence Crosby. With me is Toker, a.k.a. Chris Mahogany.
It's a me, Mahogany.
Matt and Kevin, we are Homebrew Detritus. Thank you for joining us. Good night. Check out our links and Patreon. Yada, yada, yada. Good night.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
Mm-hmm. Can you not hear us, or is it just us not hearing you? Okay, I'll take that as a yes.
Speak. Talk. Speak. Matt, speak.
Talk.
I think he's gone. Or that is the stare.
That is a frozen screen. I've never seen it.
Terrence, base your game off that look. tonight, instead of Tale of the Comet, we'll be talking about Matt the Mannequin.
A creepy image of Matt looking a little like Marty Feldman over here.
Okay. Good. Being put on restriction. Well, who was it? Jeff said to me, restriction? Who gets put on restriction? You get grounded. And then, well, I was put on restriction in first grade. And I remember my restriction was I couldn't leave my own front yard. So I used to go up to the border where the grass met the neighbor's grass, and stand right on the edge and say, Hail Satan, Hail Satan, Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, Hail Satan, Hail Satan.